Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1, 5, and 6. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And from the Revelation to St. John, the 19th chapter, the 9th verse, "And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." It seems that unrequited love, the kind of love that finds no response in the one who is loved, has always been one of the great themes of poetry and literature, because it's one of the sad realities of life. It also happens to be one of the great themes of Holy Scripture. You might even say that the entire Bible is a story of unrequited love, God's unrequited love for humanity in general, and for his ancient chosen people in particular. The Old Testament is largely the story of how over and over and over again God's ancient chosen people rejected all his goodness and love. And the New Testament is the story how the Lord of love was rejected by those he'd come to love and to save. Yes, both the Old and the New Testament scriptures are a great love story, a story of unrequited love. And in this story, the ancient prophets often speak of God as Israel's husband or bridegroom, and of Israel as God's beloved bride. The prophet Isaiah said, "As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God will rejoice over you." And our Lord pointed to himself as the bridegroom when people asked him why his disciples didn't fast like John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples. Pointing to his death, Jesus says, "Can the wedding guests feast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." And when in his letter to the Christians at Ephesus, St. Paul speaks of the union of man and wife in marriage, he then goes on to say, "This is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the church." And so, in that very familiar hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," we sing, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride." And finally, in that so many ways strange last book of the Bible, the Revelation to St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos, we find the imagery of a marriage feast portraying the joy of Christ's kingdom that will have no end. St. John writes, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And in the Gospel read on this last Sunday of the church year, we hear our Lord's parable of the 10 virgins who take their lamps to meet the bridegroom and hear the midnight cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Yes, all Holy Scripture is a story of unrequited love, the unrequited love of God for his ancient chosen people, and his unrequited love for our whole lost and fallen race. It is the story of the heavenly bridegroom who comes to claim his bride. How often God's ancient chosen people rejected that love, and how often you and I have rejected that love. So what must we do? What should we do? King David points the way when in his great psalm of repentance he prays, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And the way to that broken and contrite heart is to stop and think. To stop and think of how we have sinned against love, God's love for us, the love of others for us. It was Saint Isaac the Syrian, who was a 4th century bishop of Nineveh, who put it this way: "Those who understand that they have sinned against love endure greater sufferings than those produced by the most fearful tortures. The sorrow which takes hold of a heart which has sinned against love is more piercing than any other pain." Just think about that for a moment. Think about when you perhaps fully realized how much you'd sinned against love. The remorse, the shame, the sorrow of having sinned against somebody who's shown you so much kindness, so much love. So stop and think. Think of how we have sinned against love. Think of how we've sinned against those human beings who've loved us most, and God who loves us most of all. Think about that. But then look and see how much God loves you. Look to the manger in Bethlehem as God lies there, a helpless infant for you, for me. Look to the cross as God hangs there for you, for me. Hangs there having been scourged and pierced with nails, crowned with thorns, tormented for you, for me. When a young man goes about the task of winning the love of the young woman he loves, doesn't he almost always try to present himself in the best possible way? It is most handsome, most charming, most attractive. But not so the heavenly bridegroom, Christ, who draws his bride to himself from the cross, disgraced, humbled, bloodied, hanging there for you, for me, for every human being who has ever lived and will ever live. No one can fully understand love like that. No one can fully understand that. But you can receive that love and say, yes, Christ lay in the manger for me. Christ hung on the cross for me. Christ loved me and gave himself for me, and now I want to be a channel of love to all those other love-starved souls making their way through this often bleak and dreary world, which nevertheless will not end in dust and ashes, but will, according to Christ's sure promise, end in the joyful marriage supper of the Lamb with all his saints in light. That heavenly marriage feast of love and joy, of which the sacrament we now celebrate is the foretaste, the pledge, and the promise. Of this holy sacrament we can say, behold, the bridegroom comes. Come out to meet him. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.